Welcome to Tallest Titles Down Under Dynasty with your host at Life from the Ben, back after a bit of an extended absence. And with me as always, co-host at FF Doormat and at Mark Bull is here. Gentlemen, welcome to 2022. And how are we?
Yeah, not too bad. Football,
Mate, I'm doing wonderfully well.
It's been a while since I've heard that wonderfully well. I'm glad to hear that that's how you're doing, sir. And Bull?
Fantasy football's done for the year, but playoff football's here, so can't be too unhappy.
There's no off-season dynasty. Well, playoff football's not here for the Pats anymore, mate, is it?
I mean, to be fair, I mean, you were in a conversation earlier this year where I think I wrote them off at about week four, so they probably overperformed expectations by making the playoffs. Like, they, by all rights, they didn't deserve to be there. You know, I think they got there more on the fact that other teams just fell at the hurdle rather than they deserved to be there. So, you know, but that Bills team, that's a genuine Super Bowl contender. Like, they, you know, they've got strengths across the park. There's no shame in getting blown out by the Bills.
It was like, not ideal, right? It was tough to watch the Pats lose like that, but and I know it was, you know, it's in the same division and whatnot, but it was just great for Bills fans to see him come out and perform like that. I think you know, losing four Super Bowls back to back, looks like they've got a Super Bowl bound team. If they get past the Chiefs, you know, it's going to be a deep run for them. So, yeah, it was great to see.
Wonderful to see. So, who do you guys have going all the way? What do you think the matchup's going to be in the Super Bowl?
I mean,
I think the Bengals can sneak in. I think they're a sneaky chance. I think they can upset the Titans, and you know, obviously, probably the winner of the Chiefs. Bills will be a favourite from the AFC. The NFC, I got no idea.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to be putting money on anything at the moment. I mean, there's a Brady-led team in the playoffs, which do I really want to bet? Do I really want to bet against them? Not really. You know, that Bills team is impressive. I mean, Rodgers seems like he's on a revenge tour similar to what Brady was after his suspension. So, you know, as much as I think he is a petulant child, like, I don't really want to bet against Green Bay either. So I think it's probably the most wide open it's been in the last few years. Like, the last few years, there's always been that clear-cut team that looked like they deserved to be there. But, you know, there's half a dozen teams this year that probably deserve to win it.
Who's the people's matchup? Who do the people want to see?
I think people would love to see Buffalo come out of the AFC.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's,
Bengals or Bills, I reckon.
I think there's enough people that just want to see Buffalo burn if they actually win one. it's going to be similar to what Philly was a few years ago, where people just wanted to see Philly win one just to watch the city go to hell for a few days. Yeah, but I think anyone except Brady, to be perfectly honest, is the people's champ.
Well, at least there's no Patriots Brady Super Bowl, right? As unlikely as that was going to be. I think at one stage in the year, that was the favourite, right? The Bucks for the Pats was the favourite rematch. So at least, you know, that would have been a bit of a nightmare for some people. I wouldn't mind it too much, but at least that's out the window.
What do you reckon, Benny? Who are we seeing? Who are we seeing Valentine's Day 2022?
It's frozen.
Sorry, boys. Look, I think people would really like to see, like I said, I think they'd like to see the Bills and the Rams. I'd love to see a Bills-Rams Super Bowl, but I think we're going to get Bucks-Chiefs again, to be honest. Is that lazy to say?
It'd be the first time in a long, long time that we've seen a Super Bowl rematch. But to be honest, the Chiefs are probably the best team running around. And, you know, as I said earlier, like, I don't know if I'd want to be betting against Brady in a playoff match. Like, he's coming up against the Rams this week. Like, he's shown that Sean McVay, you know, hasn't been able to stop him before. Yeah. But even something like I think this year has the most quarterback led storylines going into playoffs. Like, you know, there's Ryan Tannehill, who everyone thought sucked at football coming out of Miami. He's getting his shot at redemption. You've got Joe Burrow, who, you know, he looks like he's leading that team. You know, you've got, you know, everyone knows the story around Brady. You've got Matt Stafford. trying to win one. Like, you know, you got Pat Mahomes, you got Rodgers in his revenge tour, you've got Jimmy G running around. Like, you know, Jimmy G gets a shot at redemption after losing one a couple of years ago. Like, there's plenty of stories. I think this year, I think the worst case for the NFL would be a Chiefs-Bucks Super Bowl. I think any of the other storylines is far more sellable to the public. But looking at it that way, I think I'd like to see the Rams win just so that Stafford gets one. Like, he deserves it. He's played with broken backs. He's led the league in passing yards. He's now responsible
for the
highest thing in NFL history.
Be Bengals for me. If I could pick a winner, be Bengals for me. I'd love to see the Bengals win it. I think I love what they're doing. Been a pretty long spell for them between winning, you know, playoff. I think it's, 30 years since they last won a playoff game? 31 years. Apart from the one they just won, so it'd be great to see them win. I don't think the 49ers can win it. They look like pretenders to me, but who knows?
49ers can't win. Definitely pretenders, mate. Definitely pretenders.
If only they could play the Cowboys every week, they might have a chance, but it's going to be tough for them at Green Bay.
Yeah. But to be honest, I think Shanahan's someone that could shut down Rodgers. I think he's probably one of the few people that could come up with a game plan to shut him down. So it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be a matter of whether or not, you know, they can keep up early. If Green Bay gets in front, that's all over. But if with Debo and Ayuk and all that, they can keep up, I think it could be an interesting matchup. And, you know, if the Niners get through this week, I think they're a genuine shot.
Let's just hope we get some good games, boys. We had one last week, one good game, and then it was just a pile of nothing. So hopefully get a little bit more. It's not often we get the Sunday football down under, so it'd be nice to have a couple of good games.
Yeah,
it would be. That'd be dandy.
And they're all at very leisurely watching hours now as well, like 8:30 kickoff and midday kickoff and 7 o'clock kickoff and 10 o'clock kickoff. It's
loving it.
Very gentlemanly hours to watch football at the moment.
All right, so Dynasty, the year that was, the year that is gone, the year that is finished. How much were you right about? What were you wrong about? I was wrong about so very, very much. So very much.
Sam Darnold,
Mark Andrews, Jonnu Smith. just everywhere. Just wrongness.
Plenty, yeah. I was all over the shop. Could probably do a whole episode or a couple of episodes, one on misses and just a short one on hits. It was tough year.
I'm in a fair few leagues with you guys. So you guys got to see firsthand just how average some of my decisions worked out were. I think I sold some shares of Herbert as well, just because I thought he was likely for some regression. Then he goes and finishes as QB2. So, you know, it wasn't my greatest year of football, we'll put it that way.
I think this year, more than ever, it just showed that, you know, skill gets you into the finals, but luck, you know, gets you to win those finals. You know, all my finals I was in, I think I won three times, and got 2 seconds. And the leagues, I think a couple of leagues I was first on overall points, first on potential points, and got knocked out in both those leagues, first playoff rounds. And then another league with a good friend of ours, Simo, he had Dak and Zeke, who were scoring about 60,000 points. They got pulled out in the last quarter or, you know, second half, and a won by like 2 points. For me this year, anyway, it was just one of those luck, not skill years.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first year in about six that I haven't broken even. So it's not ideal, but you know, I think the big thing now for me is to go back and have a look at, you know, what did I do wrong and where did I do it and why did I do it wrong? But I mean, I've started going through some of my rosters and I don't know if any of them were too wrong. Like I think the big thing I did was I probably invested in too many of the rookie QBs this year. I bought into the hype. Zach Wilson and Trey Lance burnt me a lot. And even I've got some Trevor Lawrence shares that I'm hoping will come good, but I'm also, you know, nervous that he could be Josh Rosen.
Mate, he's fine. He's already better than Josh. So he's sweet. I think you're safe there. They've done the right things to Jags. Hopefully they make a smart hire. But look, I think he's fine. It's wheels up for Lawrence. Yeah. And sometimes you make the right decision, but you just get the wrong outcome, right? Sometimes you make these win now trades, they just don't come off. But you know, you can't have retrospective vision, right? You got to make those decisions when you can. I think if you're there or thereabouts, it's always good to try and push your chips in a little bit.
I drafted Lawrence over Herbert in a startup because I was worried about that same regression because I mean, I remember the hype on Baker Mayfield, right, after the Freddie Kitchens year. I remember the hype on, you know, Winston had hype, Mariota had hype, went, you know, all these guys had hype, and then they didn't work out. So, and Lawrence was, you know, generational prospect apparently, and, you know, someone that I thought compared favorably to Andrew Luck, I felt that he was bust proof and now a little bit unsure, but I still believe in him. And I'd be trying to buy. I have been trying to buy. So just in console wars, which we're all in, I threw out T. Higgins and Dawson Knox, and I threw that out for Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance. So to all the owners of those three players, so that's 9 in total.
Yeah.
Right. And I, you know, I've still got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the offers sitting there, but the other 4 have been swiftly rejected.
So Higgins and Knox for Fields, Higgins and Knox for Lance and Lawrence. Higgins and Knox for Lawrence. Yeah. For me, I'd prefer the quarterback and all of those pretty easily. Not close for me, but I'm not a massive Dawson Knox fan. But look what he just did in the playoffs.
What's Knox's contract? Because isn't he off contract?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because that's my big thing. Like, I was having a look the other day at my tight end ranking. And the big thing for me is, I had Gesicki higher than most coming into the season. And you know what? He's lived up to that expectation and finished as tight end 5. Or tight end 6, sorry. So I had him at 5 going into the season, and he's now at 6. And he finished the season at 6-4. But the part that worries me is the fact that he's off contract. Same as Dalton Schultz. I've got a lot of Dalton Schultz in places. But, you know, I think there's a lot of those tight ends that are off contract that, you know, I think we're realizing that tight end is far more about situation than the player. You know, you look at Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz looked like the ghost of a tight end in Philadelphia where, you know, oh, he's old, he's decrepit, goes to Arizona, and all of a sudden he's finished the season as tight end 7, you know.
I think Higgins is one of these players too who's just so undervalued, right, because of Jamar Chase and just because he's undervalued. But even saying that, he finished the year as a wide receiver too, right, just. I think in console wars he's the wide receiver 20. So, you know, wide receiver young, and he's a sensational talent, but you know, wide receiver 2 and a tight end for a gun quarterback or an up-and-coming young quarterback, you know.
I think Lance would make me pause.
Mute Benny.
We don't know if they're going to be gun quarterbacks yet. I mean, they didn't have great seasons.
Yeah, so Knox is off contract. So Trey Lance would make me pause for those two, but Knox is off contract and Higgins is stuck behind Chase now. And you know, I think Burrow's a good enough quarterback that he can support 2 wide receivers. But with Knox being off contract, I don't know if I'd want to invest in him.
Fair enough. I put it out there for, you know, 3 quarterbacks whose value were a lot lower than what it was this time last year.
Yeah.
I did get a counter off Lloyd, T. Higgins and DeAndre Swift for Trey Lance.
Oof.
Can always rely on Lloyd for those reasonable counters.
Maybe you can get a Zach Wilson with that, with Higgins and Knox for Wilson, maybe.
So on the note of, like, since we're talking about Fields, how do we feel about those rookie QBs going forward? And I mean, even some of the sophomore QBs like Tua, given that they've now been thrown into a bit of a awkward situation, like with their coaches being fired.
Was Nagy fired?
In some cases, sort of their coach and GM.
Yeah, Nagy was fired. Pace and Nagy were both fired.
Sweet.
So that's only a good thing.
Pace and Nagy were fired.
It's only a good thing.
Yeah, it just worries me that it wouldn't surprise me if at least one of these QBs gets Rosened. You know, Tua's underperformed. Fields has underperformed. Wilson has underperformed. Of the QBs that have underperformed.
None of those quarterbacks are going to get Rosened. Not one. Because it's not the quarterback in this draft class to do it.
But that's what worries me more. That's what worries me, that we don't end up with a rear getting taken at the end of the second or something like that. And all of a sudden you've got a competition.
That's just crap.
I think Fields is fine. I think he's got a really safe floor. And, you know, hopefully Nagy's gone. I think only way's up. So of all those three, I probably feel strongest for Fields. I've sort of moved him up a little bit. I like what I've seen. Now Nagy's gone. Let's see what happens.
I like what I see, what I've seen too. There's just no way. There's no way.
Yeah.
None. Zero.
I don't know. Like, any time that an entire staff that drafted a player gets bought in, gets removed, it makes me go.
The Bears traded another first to get Fields. They don't have the capital.
They got so many problems too. I think they can't replace
the number one thing. When the owner of the Chicago Bears interviews for a coach or a GM, is how are you going to maximize Justin Fields? That's going to be the number one thing. It's not going to be, if the coach comes in, not too high on Justin Fields, I want to reply. Thank God, they're not getting the job, mate. It's not happening.
Mm.
Right? It's going to be the number one thing. There's going to be coaches who want that job because of Justin. He's a selling point of that job. Like, coaches, you know?
Yeah. I think the only worry for me with Fields
is
if he slides a bit more, it'd be a bit better. You know, he's just such a target, taking so many hits. That's the only sort of worry I had.
I just think we're going to see the big thing for me is with the seven coaches that have been fired, I think we're going to see a fairly heavy quarterback shake-up over this offseason. Like, say the Niners win this week.
If they win this week.
Say the Niners win this week, or like Jimmy gets a job somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're telling me that, okay, so new head coach in New York. So the new head coach, he knows that they've gone through three head coaches in 6 years. His job is fairly uncertain. Do you want to gamble on, or does he want to bring Jimmy G in for 65% completions? He's not going to lose you. They're not going to have their names.
Bully, I can't hear.
That's going to be the big question. Like, one of these teams is going to end up Watson. Yeah, I just think there's a big back shake up this year, and I think the rookies, at least one of these rookies, is going to be.
I'm just offering you a Fields trade right now in Crack and Bull, so just give me a minute and I'll make you feel a bit better about your Field shares.
Yeah, I'm not worried. I'd be worried.
I don't know if it's going to be Fields.
It's not going to be any of them. None of them are getting Wally Pipped in this upcoming season. They're going to get another season, all of them.
But they have to.
Nobody's bringing. Yeah, but your premise was just that they won't. To get Rosen is to bring in someone the very next year.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, okay, so Jimmy needs a job, Deshaun needs a job, and Rodgers needs a job. There's four QBs.
They're not going to go to any of the Jets, right? Or they're not going to any of the teams with those rookie quarterbacks. That's not going to happen.
Okay, all right. Well, so Tua, then all of a sudden you're looking at Tua. Does Tua lose a job?
Well, but Tua hasn't been Rosen because it's year three.
Yeah,
I think the fact that they got rid of Flores is because he didn't want Tua. That's what I've heard from a couple of podcasts. I think Lombardi mentioned it in his podcast that that Flores wanted, the rim was Flores wanted Watson and didn't want Tua, was trying to move off Tua, and that's why he got punted. So hopefully that's a vote for Tua. But look, I get what you're saying, but there's a few older quarterbacks that are going to go around. I think this last class of quarterbacks will be fine this year, but you know, this is the year for them to perform. After this, that's it.
How about Zach Wilson? Are you buying Zach Wilson?
I made the argument.
Short answer, bully. Short answer, please.
I own enough of him that I wouldn't buy any more shares. I've got enough doubts on him. Like, I almost think Daniel Jones is safer than some of the rookie quarterbacks.
Let's not talk about Daniel Jones.
I'll buy Wilson at a discount. I'll buy him at a discount. If someone's selling him cheaper, you know, I'll buy him cheap? At a discount.
Would my deal get a sniff of Wilson?
Look, probably not. Be close.
Really?
But yeah, I think I'd reject it. But you know, if someone wants a 22 first off me Wilson, that's something. If it's a, you know, mid to late first, I might snap Wilson up. I think there's a lot of upside there. You know, with Berrios, I think Berrios had a sneaky good year. Elijah Moore, Michael Carter, like what the Jets are doing. Be interesting to see them. A couple of early picks this year too. He looked patchy, didn't he? He was sort of up and down, but hopefully that's a learning curve for him and he can take another step. But yeah, look, probably of all those QBs, he's probably the one I've got the most questions on. Would be Zach Wilson.
So, like, given that, you know, we play virtually almost exclusively Superflex, which QBs are losing their jobs next year?
Roethlisberger. Rudolph Mason's the man, apparently. I love to see Jameis Winston at Pittsburgh. I know they've got cap problems.
Hello, can you hear?
Massive.
Yeah.
Can hear you, Benny. I just say I'd love to see Jameis Winston at Pittsburgh. I think they've got cap problems. They probably can't afford him. Don't think he's on a massive deal, but I think, you know, a great find. But yeah, look, I think Pittsburgh are looking for a new QB. I think Cleveland's looking for a new QB.
I don't know. Can they get out of Baker's contract?
I thought they wanted out.
Okay. Well, like, yeah.
They did extend him, right?
Yeah. So he'll go somewhere. Like, I was just running through the list, right? So if you go through the top, you know, if you go through the 32 QBs the top 32 QBs this year, Josh Allen's safe, Herbert's safe, Brady's safe if he wants to come back, Mahomes is safe, Stafford is safe, Rodgers will move, but they've got their replacement already.
I don't know if he moves, though, but he probably will, but he could stay. But let's just say he moves, yeah.
Yeah. Burrow's safe. Hurts is 50-50. Hurts might lose the job, might keep it. You've got to think getting him to the playoffs buys him some leeway. Dak is safe. Kyle is safe. Kirk Cousins?
Back.
He's back.
I had some technical difficulties.
Right when we mentioned Kirk Cousins.
Fuck that guy.
So... Cousins didn't have a bad year, but he's probably the first QB working down the list that has a lack of job security moving forward. Lamar's safe. Wentz is in trouble. They've already said that Wentz is in trouble.
What are we going through the full quarterbacks in the league for?
Well, there's QB jobs that have to be filled. There's at least early mocks have four QBs going round one this year. So you add four QBs on top of Rodgers, Watson, and Jimmy G. So there's seven QBs that are going to lose their job this year.
And there's plenty of shit QBs who didn't just get drafted with top 10
draft picks. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we play in Superflex League. So quarterback is king. So we got to start to look at, you know, if we're moving into this offseason, who are we trying to get rid of?
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, Sam Darnold. He's gone.
Yeah, so Carolina. Right. Carolina are looking for one.
Denver, Minnesota. It seems like the Colts aren't 100% convinced on Wentz from that Athletic article that I read on the weekend. Pittsburgh are going to need a new starter. Apparently, it's going to be Mason Rudolph. Let's
can't be, please. That's the talk, right? I've seen it, but.
We don't know who the Saints starter is. I mean, if we're going to talk about this stuff, this is the kind of stuff we need to, like, you know, be a bit more prepped about, mate. All right, not yeah.
I think the new rookie QB's coming in. They're all going to be given the Jordan Love treatment. Sit there for a year or two, anyway.
Yeah,
that's my view.
So, is CeeDee Lamb still a top five dynasty wide receiver?
Go Bully.
For me, he wasn't ever, but no.
So no. All right. Oh, for me, he never, still is.
Never ever Bully. Never. For me, he wasn't. He's got a high bar.
He hadn't separated himself from the pack in that offense. He put up numbers that were the same as Gallup when Gallup was the wide receiver one in Dallas. You know, nothing he did. He looks good, and he's got all the traits that are there, but he's in an offense where there's plenty of competition. And I think if you go around the league, there's enough wide receivers that have established their skill set at a higher level than CeeDee Lamb has.
Yeah, I just think the upside is still there. I mean,
people
will talk about how quiet he was through his last several games, but that just means that he had a really good first several weeks, right? Because he was really quiet the last several weeks. And I think he'll put it together. That consistency will come through and he'll shine.
So
I think he still is for me. He still is just on their five for me. I think the fact that they stopped throwing the ball 60 times a game, right? That's really hurting me in my mind. You know, Jefferson, Jamar, AJ, 1, 2, and 3. And then you've got a bunch of, you know, is it a Metcalf? Is it a CD? You know, and what happens with Amari Cooper? That'll be key too. Does he walk next year? But for me, yeah, he's still top five for me. Just
I don't know if I could move him into the top five. Like, Tyreek Hill is still my one. He's 27 years old. You're going to get another 2 or 3 years out of him before he hits 30. Justin Jefferson's gone back-to-back huge seasons. Oof. Jamar Chase is in there, having proven that he's an alpha. He's outperformed him in this season. So you've automatically got to look at him being ahead.
Hill can't be your one. Hill can't be your one.
I can't have Hill above Chase and Jefferson.
If I offer you a Jamar Chase for Hill swap right now, he's probably going to outscore him or be thereabouts, but surely that youth...
Hill's linked to Patrick Mahomes for at least the next two seasons. So realistically, I'm getting Tyreek Hill on the... Well, no, but seriously, Tyreek, you don't think that Tyreek Hill on a down year...
Chase is linked to Burrow.
Yeah, and Tyreek Hill's beat him. So what, you're gambling on one extra year of production because there's every chance that if Jamar Chase wants more money at the end of his contract, all of a sudden he's in a different situation. Justin Jefferson could have Kellen Mond throwing him the ball next year. Like,
but we're talking about Chase.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. Like, Tyreek Hill's 27. You're not talking about Devontae Adams at 30.
Yeah, like, but it's a lot of years. It's still several years, right? I mean, Chase is like, what, 21?
We're talking production or value. That's the difference, right? You know. I get what you're saying, Bully. I can see your angle, but look at Hopkins, how fast he's fallen off now. Can you get a first for him now? I doubt you can. These guys get a bit older, it just takes one injury, right?
And then, okay, so, all right, so yeah. Court, Chase, number one, JJ, number two, Hill, three, right?
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how he moves into that top five. Like, there's enough young receivers around him. If you're talking about age, like... Waddle outperformed him this year and is younger. So, and that Miami team had a down year. So why are we going to go Waddle ahead below CD?
It's the quarterback. For me, it's the quarterback.
Yeah. I just don't know if I could, until they move on.
Hey,
from,
look, you didn't have him as top five anyway. So that's fine. Yeah. Just say it's all right. You don't need to justify it. All right.
Yeah, I just don't think he's a top five at the moment.
I think Coach Shep's probably right there with you, mate. I think he's the leader of the pack, the head honcho. I think he's right there with you. I think he's a little bit upset with CD this year. So
yeah, I just think we get too cute trying to predict the next one rather than being happy with the 25 to 28-year-old receiver that we've got. And I think we get burnt more often than not.
Here's one. Where do you want? Where would you be drafting Cooper Kupp?
In the startup.
No, is he top five for you, Cooper Kupp, dynasty wide receiver?
Value.
Just
No. He's 29 before the next season. I think he's a round three player. I think he's in that round three area where you're working out in a super flex league, you're working out where your first two picks have gone. I think if you're picking, you know, if you're picking seventh or eighth overall and you miss the young QBs and you end up going running back or running back wide receiver, I think Cup makes a lot of sense, but I think he's a third round player just because of his age. Like, he turns 29 before the next season.
Before you know it, he'll. But isn't Tyreek Hill turn 28?
Tyreek Hill turns 28.
I guess Hill's done it for a number of years, right? This is sort of Cup's first massive year. He's jumped out of not nowhere, but it was the Cup or Woods discussion before the year, and I think a number of leagues I was in, Woods went before him.
But by the time the season starts, I mean, Tyreek Hill's going to be 28 and a half, right? And we that's see
ancient.
From...
That's ancient.
Well, we see from a value perspective, the value just drops right out at 28, even if they're still producing.
But this is what I said earlier. Like, I think we get too cute trying to worry about value rather than trying to win.
Yeah, but if you shift Tyreek Hill for Chase or Jefferson, you can still win. That's the point, I think, that, you know, that's why he can't be the one over Chase or Jefferson, because you're still going to get, you know,
he could finish the one, right? Would it surprise you if he finished the wide receiver one next year and the year after?
No, not at all.
Not really, but value wise, he can't be, you know. Because we're just all ages, but production. Yeah, I can see what you're saying. Blue production.
For me, I need to know who's throwing the ball to JJ next year before I move him to one. I can't have anyone as the most valued. And let's put it this way: I'm taking a wide receiver before I take a running back in most startups. So I can't have my most valuable non QB relying on Kellen Mond to throw him the ball.
It's got to be Chase. First wide receiver.
Anyway. And how about Cam Akers? You buying Cam Akers?
I
would be moving off. I still don't believe in it for the long term.
Oh, like I think we've seen enough now from less talented. Conveniently, there were two far less talented running backs this year come back in and be useful in Foreman and Mac. And now we've seen Akers, who everyone was like, oh, he's going to be out until the middle of next year. He's never going to be able to run it. He's come back in 9 months and he's playing playoff football. But I think the price you can get for him right now is an overpay for where he's worth. You know, I think I saw him go for two firsts and Leonard Fournette in a league yesterday. I'm happy with that. I'm happy to get two firsts. I think it was the 105 and the 109. You know, so you're getting some reasonable players with those picks, and then Leonard Fournette, if he stays in Tampa, he's, you know, valuable next year. I think his value has rebounded back to the point where it's time to sell. But I'd say that for any running back, really.
I can't sell him because I sold him pretty cheap.
Don't worry, so did I. I sold him in a couple of places.
I think the buy window is closed, right? The price has gone up too much. I'd probably hold just a little bit more as the off-season comes. Maybe a few more kids of him getting healthy and running through a few teams. It might get a little bit of a value spike. But, yeah, I wouldn't be buying.
What is your biggest hit from 2021, Matt?
The biggest hit, I don't know, there's just so many to keep up with. I don't know. Look, I guess I got lucky. I drafted Jamar Chase in a couple of leagues, and he went pretty large for me in the final week. So, you know, pretty much a no-brainer pick, right? I think if you got an opportunity to draft him, most people did anyway. So it's not really a massive hit there, but it worked out well for me.
Well, what was your biggest hit?
I sold all my AJ Brown.
So you're out on AJ Brown long term?
I
Just a name, mate. It's not the secret to life.
I don't think the ceiling is there. I just don't think his ceiling is the same as the others around him.
Well, I hope Hopkins can make a comeback because of my deal that I made with Matt last year. I need Hopkins to ball out and make a bit of a comeback. But I'm pretty happy to have Damien Harris.
Ramondre's there, man. Ramondre's the man. He's the future RB1 there.
Jokes.
No, look, I love Harris. I think he's my most owned player, and I think I've sold him in. I still believe in him. But to get a share of AJ Brown was good. I think in that league, another league, you offered me AJ Brown straight up for Jamar Chase, and I thought about that for a couple of days. I'm glad I didn't take that deal.
It probably would have
swung the Kraken final, putting the 60 points off my roster on your roster. But yeah, flip a coin, AJ Brown, Jamar Chase. Really, I still
okay. My hits. I don't think I had many hits.
Waddle's got to be a hit. Waddle's got to be. You were taking Waddle everywhere. You were screaming from the rooftops. That's got to be a decent hit.
Yeah, that's true. I'm very high on Waddle, and he was a hit for me. But I was very high. I said CeeDee Lamb would be the number one wide receiver in the NFL at the end of this year, and I was lost on that. And I wrote an article saying that I was out on Mark Andrews, who finished as, I think, tight end one, didn't he?
He would have been, yeah.
And to buy Jonnu Smith, who did nothing. Nothing.
I think there were plenty of people burnt by the Patriots tight ends this year.
I just thought Andrews with the Bateman, and I still believed a little bit in Marquise Brown, and this was before the running back got hurt too, Dobbins. I just thought that he'd take a back step in targets, you know? That's what I thought, that he'd take a step back in the targets and he'd just get less opportunity. I really believed in Bateman, but he was just a monster all year. And this is a loss. I turned down, I got offered Mark Andrews in the second for TJ Hockenson, and I turned it down at the start of the year. I really thought Jonu would just break out on the Pats. I really, really thought that.
I think Hunter Henry came good towards the end of the year, right? He had a couple of good games, and I think he's there for another year, his contract. I think if they cut him now, they don't gain any cap space. They lose like 14, 18 million or something like that. So, he's there for another year, so who knows. If he can come good second year, I think I was burnt from him.
Well, on the note of Andrews, what are we thinking for next year? Like, given that there are a number of the weapons that are due back. Like, what are you thinking will happen with next year?
I'm not going to doubt him again. You know, I still love Hock. I love Hock a lot. I'm still high on Hock. I still think he can have a season like Andrews had this year if things break right for him. Don't look at me like that, Bully. Right? So,
give up.
No.
Take your Hock shares. And go and find all the Gesicki owners that aren't me and get yourself Mike Gesicki. You won't regret it.
I can't do that shit, man. Nah, Hock is just, Hock is Hock is life.
You can probably get Ertz and Gesicki for Hock. Mm. Get yourself two top six tight ends for the price of Hock.
It's just making me sad.
Malik Willis to Hock.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Maybe. I'd like that. So there we go. I'm very high.
Run back off again. But...
So just so people know, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Facebook, two groups, Toilets and Titles, and When a Family Breaks, and of course on Spotify. And we've got a Patreon, and tier one is $3 per month. That gets you into the Toilets and Titles team group chat. Tier two is $5 per month. That gets you into the early access to the Waiver Wire episodes, entry into our Frankenstein Listener League, and into the T2T group chat. And tier three is $10 per month. That gets you one-on-one roster analysis, free entry into the Frankenstein Listener League, T2T group chat, and early access to the Waiver Wire episodes. So just letting people know that. And you can review us on Apple Reviews. And now also, you can leave reviews on Spotify. You have to listen on Spotify to be able to leave a review on Spotify, but you can now leave reviews on Spotify. So get on Spotify and give us a review if you listen on Spotify. All right? 5 stars all the way. Thank you very much. And, guys, we're really, really going to be pushing the YouTube this off-season. So please subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're at around 420. We really want to get that up to 450 by the time, you know, the draft comes around. Hopefully 500. That's the goal. All right. And if Bull has to get nude to do it, then that's what'll happen. All right. But yeah, we've got to build up those YouTube numbers. So come, if you're watching this, subscribe, please. There's lots of shows. I promise they're all better than us.
It's a low bar.
Oh.
And Matt, you're saying you want to organize a listener league for a listener Toilets and Titles listener dynasty league. Is that what you're putting out there?
I think so. I think you were telling me you don't have enough leagues. I know Bull was saying the same thing. He wants to commission a couple more leagues and whatnot. So I just give the people what they want, mate. Just you want to play dynasty with the boys from down under dynasty? Hit us up. Let us know. We'll make it happen.
I can only see Facebook user, so I don't know who the Facebook user is because I can't see their name. But I'm assuming it's one of the team. But hello, Facebook user.
Oh, it's Justin. It's Justin.
Justin. Yeah. Justin, if you get nude, those subs will go right up, buddy. All right? We'll break 500 easily. All right? Full Monty episode with Justin and Bull.
We'll break the internet.
Yeah. Anyway. But look, we'll wrap it up soon. Before we go, I've got to talk about a trade that I did in our the Dynasty Underdog Listener League. All right, Dynasty Underdog, run by Billy Beeman and Uriah Dawkins. All right, two handsome roosters. So in that league, I had a pick that, I mean, what this pick that I traded, Matt, what's it going to be at the worst?
102 at the worst.
Yeah?
At the worst.
At the worst, right? It's going to be 102 at the worst. All right? So, and this guy who's been buying all the 23 picks, he really wanted this pick, didn't he? Like he came hard at this pick, Matt. I wasn't trying to sell the pick. I was telling him I didn't want to sell the pick. He just kept coming for the pick.
He offered me Giovane for my pick, but I wasn't about it just because I wanted that pick. I said I'll send him a counter, and before you knew it, you'd snuck in there and stole the eggs from the farm.
I reckon your pick's going to be pretty decent in 2023. So, you know, based on how you're building your team, I think it'll be a decent pick. But the deal ended up being I traded the pick that will be, you know, 101, 102. In 2023, for Javonte Williams, a random 23 first that was the title, like the champions this year. So the guy who's first, this is in 2023, won the league this year, and a 23 second. I just thought it was too much value to pass up. I just, you know, I didn't want to trade the pick. But I looked at that team that won the title this year, and it's a good team. It's not a right team, but it's not a great team. And he hasn't got another. He's only got one starting quarterback in Superflex. One quarterback that's sure bet to start next year, and the other quarterbacks are Jared Goff and Jameis Winston. And I looked at his team, and I thought, I mean, that pick could be 106, you know, could be 108. And I mean, the 23 draft is going to be good at the top, but the reason that we love the 23 draft is because it's going to be so deep, you know. So, yeah, I saw the trade, like I hit accept on the trade, had to take it. Do you think I did the right thing there, Matt?
Well, I think you got to smash accept on that as fast as you can. So essentially you've moved back in the draft, you picked up a second and Javonte Williams, right? Who, even if you're not a believer in Javonte, I think the hype is already through the roof, and when they cut Gordon, it's going to go even higher. So yeah, I think that's just a smash accept. I think 23, 101, 102 is going to be a very valuable pick. But I think the value is a little bit overblown. If you ask me, just we've seen what some of these running backs can do year to year. Look at Saquon, look at CMC. had them the past couple of years. Hasn't been too good yet. So if you pick up another young running back, you keep your first, you just move back, and you get that second, which is going to be worth a lot anyway. Seconds in 23 are going to be massive, I reckon. So
if Facebook user loves Javonte, I believe, okay? I believe, because nobody knows fantasy football as well as Facebook user, okay? I'm going to assume that's actually still Justin, and Justin actually does know fantasy football. And if you want to know more about fantasy football, you should listen to the main podcast that Justin is on, because Justin is a superstar of all things fantasy football and a very handsome man.
I agree with all that. Where is Javonte in your rankings, like dynasty value? Not points, but obviously he's an RB1 in value and probably towards, you know, the middle.
He's definitely been drafted as an RB1. I mean, I've seen some people say, Javonte as high as RB2, which I think is a bit nuts. But I'd really have to sit down and see where I rank, recalibrate my ranking, which apologies over to Josh, I haven't updated the rankings all season, my dynasty rankings. So I got to get on that. But yeah, he's going high.
Yeah, I could see him being top six for me.
Yeah, but I could also see them bringing back Melvin Gordon, because he's not going to get a big contract, and they worked well together. And everybody wants to have two or three good running backs. And that was part of my hesitancy in the deal, because I could easily see him in a timeshare with Gordon again. But we'll see how it plays out. It was just too much value.
Do you think it's been overblown, that those early 23 first? Do you think it's? I know that there's a talented class there, but people are already saying don't compete in 22, just sell out for 23.
I think that's crap.
We don't have an landing spot, right? Like,
to be honest, I've gone away from sitting there and going, "Oh, this draft class is weak. This draft class is strong." Like, when was the last draft class we had where there wasn't at least seven or eight good fantasy assets coming out of it?
I don't know.
2019 was meant to be a rubbish draft class, and look what it's given us. Like, you know, everyone was sell your 2019 picks straight up for 2020 picks, and you know, I just
that's true. I mean, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf,
Lock can happen in a year too, right? Lock can happen in a year.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me if this draft class produces two good fantasy quarterbacks, three or four, you know, good wide receivers, and at least one running back. You know, there's a couple of tight ends there that aren't terrible either. Like, if they get in the right situation, you know.
I mean, Monty's come around from 2019. You still got Kyler Murray. You know, yeah. Kyler Murray's a stud quarterback. You know, Jacobs has gone backwards. Marquise Brown looks to be coming around.
He finished as RB12 this year.
Yeah.
Like,
you know.
Yeah, just calm the fire on the 23 picks. Obviously going to be super valuable, but, like, you know, come on. The hype's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, but I've seen people trading, you know, mid-2022 first for mid-2023 firsts, and I just can't do that. Like, the chance that you get a player now that you can sell for multiple 2023 firsts. If you've got a situation where that the team is genuinely bad and you can get a genuinely bad team's 2023 first, I can understand that move where you might skip the 2022 class and go for the 2023. But
there'd have to be a player I don't like. And I still think that come draft day, even if you want to move into 2023, there's going to be someone who wants someone on the board in 2022 that you can get 2023 plus.
Yeah, I agree. Right?
So, yeah. The reason I was open to making that, like the reason I pulled the trigger on that trade was because I was getting the first and the second back on top of Javonte. And when people talk about the 23 draft, it's the depth of the 23 draft that people are, you know, talking about. So I just felt that was too much to pass up. Anyway, I think we'll leave the who is talk for the next episode. I think that could be a whole episode amongst itself.
Yep.
And we've gone for an hour, and it's pretty late at night here, so I reckon we wrap it up. What do you reckon, boys?
Yeah, I'm happy to call it a night.
Sounds like a plan. Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan. All right, well, we didn't get many people watching, but we'll put this out on the podcast feed. I'm probably going to go to bed now, do that tomorrow. But, yeah, good to be back in 2022. We're going to try to be regular as clockwork on the Wednesdays, I think. Yeah, that's the goal, boys. And thank you, Mother, for the rabbits.
It's good to have you back, Benny.
It's good to be back, gentlemen.
Check it out.